Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning, Pacific Beach. I'm Julie Cox. I'll be your worship leader this morning. Today, we're going to be reading from Revelation 7, 9 through 17. The multitude from every nation. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory, and wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are those robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of a great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The next reading we're having is Matthew 5, verse 1 through 12. The Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you."
Today we are celebrating All Saints Day, a day that may be familiar to some and not to others. It's a day when we, the church, do something radical and countercultural. It's a day when we remember the dead. Now, that's not to say that those of us who have lost a loved one recently or long ago don't remember those family members and friends on a regular basis. We do, of course. They come to mind and heart and attention in all kinds of mysterious ways, often bringing bittersweet waves of grief and joy together. But our society as a whole and in general is fairly death-denying. It's not a topic we like to talk about openly, and we generally only engage death, dying, and other related matters when it's absolutely necessary. But woven into the fabric of our Christian year is this wonderful celebration of All Saints Sunday, a time when we do this radical thing, when we are intentional about remembering those who have gone before us. In the very earliest origins of All Saints Day, it was those who were martyred for the faith who were remembered. We heard Julie read from the book of Revelation, a fascinating book of what's called apocalyptic literature. The piece that we share today offers a vision of a vast multitude, people from every nation, tribe, and language gathered around the throne of God. They sang of God's wisdom and glory and power and might, because what else is there to do but sing when in the presence of God? They were robed in white, we're told, and holding palm branches. And when one of the elders asked who they were, he was told that they were those who had come out of the great ordeal. And we're told that God was now their shelter, and that they would no longer hunger or thirst, that they would be led to springs of the water of life, and that God would wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's a beautiful image, and in my mind, even more beautiful, because we know that these are people who knew what it was to suffer, to struggle. They had come out of the great ordeal, meaning that they had experienced persecution because of their faith. They had suffered and struggled and hurt and known hunger, thirst, tears. And they had come through, they had been brought through, and now gathered in this place of shelter and rest and joy. So on All Saints, we do remember those who were persecuted for their faith, and the reality that there are still people being persecuted for their Christian faith in various places around the world. But the All Saints celebration evolved over time, and we have come to celebrate this day with a now broader understanding of Christian saints. The New Testament understanding of saints refers not just to those who were persecuted, but to all Christians of every time and place. So alongside the image of those white-robed saints from the book of Revelation, we can add our own images, images of our loved ones who have died, who have gone before us. And for just a few moments, I invite you to let some of those images drop into your consciousness and wander through your heart as you think about the people of faith, the saints of your life, who have transformed your journey. Perhaps parents, spouses, children, neighbors, church members, friends. Because all of us, I imagine, are here connected to a community of faith because of someone, probably older than us, who shaped us, who challenged us, who inspired us by the way they lived their life and lived their faith. And chances are they didn't just inspire us by the way they lived in good times. They probably inspired us, perhaps most significantly, by the way they lived in challenging times. Because each one of those we've recalled, I imagine, also came through the great ordeal, their own great ordeal. All of them, in their own ways, struggled and hurt, and knew hunger or thirst or tears. All of them experienced uncertainty or disappointment. All of them lived through trauma or illness or loss. All of them stepped into the great mystery and crossed the threshold from the living to the dead. And yet all of them continued on in a way that allowed others to see their light in their living and beyond their dying. Their light continued to shine through struggles and hardships, ordeals of all shapes and sizes. their light continues to shine now, today, as we remember their faith, their love, the legacy they've left behind. And I invite you to keep the spirit of those folks close to you as we turn to the Beatitudes, words of Scripture that are familiar to a large portion of our society, even if it is only through Monty Python movies. It's helpful to know that Jesus spoke these words about blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. To people who suffered and struggled and who were perhaps enduring the great ordeal of their own lives. The verses just prior to our passage tell about how people heard about Jesus, about the things that he was doing, and how they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them, the scripture says. So this is who we know was gathered round, those who were afflicted and those who loved them enough to do everything in their power to bring them to Jesus. And here, close to the beginning of Matthew's gospel, early on in his public ministry, Jesus began to paint a new and very different picture of God's kingdom, very different from what people of that day expected. Jesus began to explain that the things of power and prestige and privilege were not central or even valued in this kingdom, but rather the things of gentleness, humility, mercy, peace, love. These were the key elements, these the central components. The word blessing is an interesting word in the Bible. There are a variety of Greek and Hebrew words that get translated as blessing, and some of those words do reflect a sense of simple happiness. But when you read these Beatitudes, it doesn't entirely make sense for Jesus to say, "Happy are those who mourn," or "Happy are those who are persecuted." But there's another word that gets translated as blessing, the Hebrew word asher. And this word for blessing has an additional layer of meaning that implies on the right road. You are on the right road. And this broadened definition of blessing helps me understand these Beatitudes, because I imagine that those afflicted people of that day might have believed that their affliction indicated that they were not on the right road, that they had done something wrong, that they were not of worth, that they had no valid place in the community. And Jesus, with these words, the Beatitudes, gathered those people in. He made a place for them. He offered these words that were not instructions about how to achieve blessings, but rather words of consolation and reassurance to those who were already in the midst of the struggle. And what the Beatitudes really lift up about this new notion of kingdom is that there is a now and a not yet quality about living in Jesus' realm. It's hard to miss that the Beatitudes have both a present and a future tense. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. As people of faith, we always stand with one foot firmly in this life and another foot stepping into the kingdom that is still becoming. We hold the tension of this dual awareness of how things are and how things are yet to be. And that perspective allows us to acknowledge fully the joy and the hardship of this life as we experience it in other people's lives, as we experience it in our own lives. And that perspective also allows us, regardless of all else, to be sustained by a deep and abiding hope, because we know that we are still on the road, still on the right road, journeying toward the promise of peace, justice, love, complete and fulfilled. And if you think back to your saints who you recalled earlier, I hope they're still alongside you now. If you turn back to them, I imagine that their lives reflected this quality of the now and the not yet, that they lived through the ups and downs of great joys and also difficult ordeals, but that their faith, their hope, their love somehow transcended all the rest, even death. We know that's true, verifiably true, because the witness of their lives shines brightly in you. The witness of their lives shines brightly in all those who love and remember them. So here we are, people still on the road, people still on the journey. And we've had some ordeals ourselves, haven't we? I don't know anyone who, when reflecting on the year 2020, won't look back and say, wow, that was an ordeal. We've experienced great ordeals on global, national, and personal levels. We are people who are very aware of the now, and it has been especially dicey as of late. But we are also people who are aware of and who are stepping into the not yet, the coming of God's kingdom. And we are reminded on this All Saints Day that we do not do that alone or in isolation. We do that guided by the wisdom and the light of our ancestors, our saints who have gone before us, who companion us and who cheer us on our journey. We do that bound together in community with one another, fellow travelers, all desiring to follow the right road. We do that held securely in the care of God, who created us, who loves us, who invites us, who picks us up when we stumble, who nudges us, who guides us in the here and now, and who will guide us all the way home. Thanks be to God. Amen. On this All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have gone before us, those who have loved us, those who have taught us, those who have done their best to live a life of faith and hope and love. Their legacy is reflected in who we are and how we are in the world. We acknowledge their communion with us and our communion with them as we are bound together in the mystery and majesty of God's eternal love. Today we remember Mark's father, Eugene. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
Norma Epstein. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
Fran Fellman. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
Al Herman. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
Dart's mother and Waverly Amberlin and Devon's Nana, Rose Rhodes. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
Bob's sister, Ellen Hall Saleh. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
Gail Versteeg. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
In addition, we lift up other siblings in faith whom we are not able to name. We remember the homeless, the abused, the refugees. We remember those who have been victims of violence or war. We remember people of faith from around the world who have died from COVID-19. Absent from our midst.
Present with the Lord.
May each one rest, O God, in your boundless love and eternal care.
Loving and gracious God, our lives have been so enriched by these saints, these loved ones, these fellow travelers whom we have named before you. We are so grateful for their lives, their witness, their wisdom, their love. Even as we know they are at home, held in your perfect peace, we pray that we might always sense their abiding presence and their guiding light that continues to inspire and bless our own living. We remember other saints of our lives, those who have been a life-giving and life-changing part of our own journeys. In these moments of silence, we lift up their names to you, out loud or in our hearts. Thank you for all those who have been and who are a reflection of your grace, your hope, your promise, your mercy in our lives. Help us to live our lives in ways that reflect those same things to others. We give you thanks for your sustaining care that is with us during challenging times. We pray for those afflicted in body, mind, heart, or spirit. We pray for the safety and well-being of those affected by fires and storms. Help us to be a balm of support, consolation, and encouragement wherever and however we can. We acknowledge the ordeals around us and within us, and we thank you for beauty, for friendship, for laughter, for grace, for all of the signs of your irrepressible and redeeming presence in the midst of any ordeal. We pray for your guidance and blessing to be with our country as we come after a long season of preparation to this time of elections. Help us to be gentle with ourselves and one another as we navigate these days. Help us to walk together in paths of righteousness, justice, mercy, and peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.